All right, people, please be seated. We want to start the meeting. Okay. I'm going to call this meeting to order and open business. This is Saturday, July 25th. John, are we being streamed? Okay, we're on the stream. And I guess we better take the roll. And welcome, Sandra. Sandra just got here. Richard, it's to you.
I'll take a roll and a cup of coffee. Okay, Sherry Gendelman. Bonnie Simmons. Andrea Turner.
Present.
Joe Wanzala.
Here.
Grace Aaron.
Here.
Sean O'Brien.
Present.
Leslie Radford. Rico Ross.
Present.
George Ryder.
Here.
Sandra Rawline.
Present.
Wendy Shrell.
Here.
Susan Young. Nia Bediako. Carolyn Burden. Kathy Davis.
Here.
Jamie Ross.
Here.
Jim Brown.
Here.
A.C. Bird.
Here.
Lizette King.
Present.
Billy Ray Edwards.
Here.
And that's a nice looking hat, Billy Ray. Dave Beaton.
Here.
Pia Wangaza.
Here.
You have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Richard. All right, before we go into the next thing, major thing on the agenda is my report. Before we go into that, there are some slight agenda changes. The archives report, which is now scheduled for, Brian DeShazer is going to be available on the phone at 4 p.m., so we'll have that at 4 p.m. And another little item that we forgot is we need to schedule another closed session because we did not complete our closed session agenda. So I'd like to throw it open to the board to decide when we would like to move into closed session.
What time are we going to today, Grace?
We're going to go till 6. Public comment is at 5. We'll break it, let's say, 5:30 or a quarter to 6. And then we can come back at 7.
I suggest we have the closed session at 7.
Okay, that makes sense.
Suggestion? Do you have it now because nobody's here yet in the audience?
No. Sorry. So if there's no objection, we'll have a closed session this evening at 7. All right. The next thing, then, is my report, which I'll read to you. I'm going to do it in two parts. I have my written report, which I'm going to read rapidly. It's in your board book, and I hope it's in mine. And after that, I'm going to do an audio-video presentation about listenership. Okay, I have to hook this up so I can read and talk. Where's my... Okay, I don't need that now. Where's my report? Looking for my report. Okay, here we go. All right.
Your report is in here?
Yeah. It's after the GM reports. The Pacifica Foundation is at a crossroads. We're meeting in New York this weekend to grapple with our current financial difficulties and plan for recovery and future stability. This is an election year for us. The ongoing local station board elections have resulted in strong, energetic participation by our listeners. At last count, we had a total of 146 listener candidates and 29 staff candidates. Four stations have many more candidates than open seats, and all have ample candidates. This bodes well for the future stewardship of Pacifica. Les Radke, the National Election Supervisor, and all five local election supervisors, Renee Penalosa of KPFA, Ann Shaw of KPFT, Michael Sanchez of KPFK, Lydia Harris of WPFW, and Ethan Young of WBAI have been doing excellent work and deserve special recognition. There's also good news about the Pacifica Affiliate Network and the Pacifica Archives. I urge you to read the full reports written for this meeting about the Archives and Affiliate Program, as well as reports from the Technical Director, Interim CFO, Interim Human Resources Director, Interim Development Director, and the reports from the General Managers of our five stations. We have almost 150 affiliates presently. This means that there are stations all over the country, with some new ones added in Africa this year, that are airing Pacifica programs. This expands our reach to many of the nooks and crannies of our nation and beyond. The affiliate program is stable, expanding, and has tremendous potential thanks to the good stewardship of Ursula Rudenberg, the affiliate's director. Ursula is currently working out of Greenville, Mississippi, where, after work, she is volunteering to help develop a new community radio station. Ursula says, quote, "The Pacifica Foundation is deeply appreciated by residents here for supporting their effort to build a station. In this, one of the poorest communities in the United States, a community radio station will become a pivotal force. Greenville is also positioning itself to assist what will hopefully be a chain of new southern community radio stations, including Clarksdale, Mississippi, Lake Village, Arkansas, Etah, Alabama, Albany, Georgia, the Houma Nation in Louisiana, Port St. Joe, Florida, and many others." According to Brian DeShazer, Pacifica Archives Director, now we're moving on to the archives section of this report. Quote, "The Pacifica Radio Archives is experiencing the most productive period in its 35-year history in areas of preservation and access. In areas of preservation and access, programming, premium development, and publication. Tens of thousands of dollars of grant funding has been secured by Brian and the archive staff, and much preservation work is ongoing. For example, the Pacifica Radio Archives has been awarded $10,000 to be part of phase one of the American Archive Pilot Project, which is funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. There is a very good chance that Pacifica Radio Archives will receive a $100,000 grant soon as part of phase two of this project. And this is coming up very soon. It's very exciting. This winter was our weakest point in many years financially. Reserves that had been depleted for years started to hit rock bottom. Large bequests and donations that had served to keep us afloat in the recent past have not been forthcoming. Fund drives came in below target, off-air fundraising did not meet expectations, and our stations were feeling the impact of cuts in staff and expenses. The spring brought mild recovery in fund drive performance, with particularly spectacular improvement at WBAI. KPFK came in about 6% below its winter drive. KPFA held steady and came in a tiny bit below budget in their spring drive, but that was a big improvement over the 15%. It was under budget in its winter drive. The shortfall at WPFW still hurt, but although the drive came in 16% under the budgeted goal, that was better than fall and winter drives. KPFT's decline also lessened. KPFK and KPFT expect to close this fiscal year at the end of September on budget. KPFA is working hard to come in on budget, although it may come in 5 to 12% under. WBAI will be under budget, but a lot less than when was projected before the May fund drive. WPFW needs serious attention. We're not out of trouble. Our cash reserves remain very low, but there are definite hopeful signs that we can continue this tenuous recovery, improve income substantially, and weather both our internal financial challenges and those presented by widespread economic decline. Unlike many other nonprofits, our financial problems began a number of years ago. Slowly eroding listenership has directly correlated to declining net income and declining membership at all our stations for the last 4 or 5 years. Although we have been impacted by the plunging world economy, our income has been more stable than many nonprofits. This is due to the enormous creativity of our staff, our mainly small donor funding base, our prudent austerity measures, and our flexibility as an organization. We have a unique income stream consisting primarily of small donations. We can always do a little bit more on-air fundraising if we are in an emergency. We don't like this option as it creates donor fatigue and lowers listenership, but it's there as a last resort. Also, the fact that we don't depend on income from investments is also something that sets us apart from many foundations. In fact, a recent issue of The Network, a newsletter from the Institute for Conservation Leadership, explains that many foundations are cutting their giving after losing 20 to 40% of their assets. Currently, the weakest income budget line items at all five of our stations is off-air fundraising. It's not surprising that our strongest income is currently coming from on-air fundraising. Donations are often seen as a luxury item in a family or individual's budget. However, we've been finding that premiums that address critical audience needs are bringing in a surprising amount of pledged dollars. KPFK's recent fund drive showed us the current strength of health-related premiums, for instance. Our financial situation needs to be looked at relative to other segments of the nonprofit world. As an example, there's a quote from the New York Times, June 27, 2009, quote, "The recession has led foundations, corporations, state governments, and colleges themselves to reduce their support of providers of scholarships, and in recent months, programs have been reduced or canceled outright. The cuts come as economic conditions make it harder for families to pay for college and as more unemployed people look for financing for retraining. The result will probably be a greater role for federal aid programs in supporting students instead of private scholarship providers and state governments," said Terry W. Hartle, Senior Vice President for Government and Public Affairs at the American Council on Education, whose members are colleges and universities, end quote. A staff member at the Radio Resource Consortium, which provides Arbitrons to radio stations, including ours, said that many college-supported radio stations have seen their budgets cut drastically due to sharp college endowment income declines. I'd like to take a moment to mention my appreciation for the hard work of all our managers and staff. I'm actually acutely aware that austerity measures that were needed have increased the workload of most staff members. I continue to be impressed by the creativity and resilience of our staff. I'd like to thank you all for your hard work and commitment to Pacifica. Management changes were made in May at WBAI. Those changes resulted in a substantial increase in the latest fund drive pledge total, which exceeded projections by $292,000. Further, backlogs of premium fulfillment and membership database entry are being addressed and will be made current soon, even if it takes a top-to-bottom restructuring of that department. Staff from KPFK were loaned for a while to WBAI, and this cooperation between two of our stations with the willingness of other stations to help out as well, plus help from the national office, has shown that we can do what we can do when we work cooperatively as a network. The strong recovery at WBAI could not have been done without this. Much thanks goes to all the staff at WBAI, with special appreciation to LaVarne Williams, Pacifica ICFO, who is doing double duty as WBAI IGM, Kathy Davis, WBAI Public Affairs Director, and Tony Bates, Interim Program Director, who is a recent import from KPFK. More recently, Management changes have been made at WPFW. We have every assurance that that station, which has had sharp revenue declines in the last year, will also soon begin a financial recovery. Mr. Grigsby Hubbard has been appointed the interim general manager of WPFW, and he's sitting here in our audience. Can you raise your hand, Grigsby? Every station except KPFA cut expenses in the fall of 2008. KPFA is going to make those budget adjustments shortly, but austerity measures are not enough. Our station's at the point where further substantial cuts would be counterproductive. So what do we do? Our listenership and market shares, the percentage of available radio listeners who are tuned in at all five stations, are very low. This delineates both the problem and the opportunity. Improved programming along with creative public relations, some advertising, and just plain getting the word out will result in improved listenership. Our potential upside in listenership is enormous. We must focus on excellence in radio. Our programs must be relevant, speak to the needs of our audience in these troubled times, and offer a positive vision, both for individuals and this culture. As the general economy shows signs of further erosion, we must not only focus our listenership, we must not only boost our listenership to prior levels, but beyond, as that is the only way we'll be able to both impact society and bring in needed resources to stay sustainable as a network. This is not to say that our stations are not constantly broadcasting excellent content. They are, but everything can and should be improved. For instance, KPFT is embarking on significant program improvement this week. I earlier mentioned that the help our stations are giving each other. Collaboration between stations such as KPFA and KPFK teamed up to produce the 6 p.m. news together. This is evidence of a sharing of resources that is beneficial to both stations. The excellent series, Letters from Washington, the first 100 days, produced at KPFA and anchored by Mitch Jezerich, was picked up by other stations and affiliates and is another example of excellence and cooperation. Also, Sonali Kolhatkar's Uprising Digest, which is being picked up by other stations and affiliates, Michio Kaku's Explorations, etc. The recent broadcast of the Sotomayor confirmation hearings emanating from Washington, D.C., and the Noam Chomsky broadcast emanating from New York, and other programming available network-wide continues the long tradition in Pacifica of bringing important in-depth coverage not found elsewhere. The plan at WBAI to create a very syndicatable hip-hop music news political show featuring Chuck D of Public Enemy is another example of how we can provide perspectives not found elsewhere. John Almella, Pacifica Technical Director, deserves special recognition for the special national broadcast just mentioned. He makes sure our websites are being currently worked on. Specific software applications have been written recently to assist with our election staff databases, and some of our calendar and meeting announcements are automated now. The audio port is being updated and corrected, etc. Hardware improvements have also been made. And by the way, radio is not dead. According to the Northern California Broadcasters Association, radio listenership has grown by 16% since 1994, and it has added 6 million listeners since 2005. In fact, quote, what radio has going for it is a huge and stable audience with some 90% of Americans listening at some point each week, unquote. These words come from researcher Kevin Downey of Media Life magazine. There's a hunger for our core message. Common wisdom has been turned on its head, and our listeners and potential listeners want to hear new answers. Can we provide direction for the ongoing paradigm shift of this society? Can we rise to the occasion? Here is a thumbnail sketch of the direction we plan to continue on. One, programming improvement at every station. Routine program evaluation will be implemented on a standardized model so that changes are decided in as objective and collaborative a way as possible. Market research and inexpensive advertising will be explored as options. Internships and mentoring will be considered as ways to improve program quality and enrich links to our listening community. Communities. Volunteerism will be encouraged and supported. The Pacifica mission, principles, and commitment to diversity will figure prominently in this process. Two, standardized financial reporting. Unnecessary waste of staff resources has been caused by the lack of standardized bookkeeping and financial reporting. Business managers are now being trained to report in a timely fashion and in a way that can be digested easily on the national level. Three, policies and procedures. Existing Pacifica policies and procedures are being unearthed, dusted off, and put into use. Online training that is extremely cost-effective is being rolled out as we speak and will continue and will include sexual harassment and anti-discrimination training, employee evaluation training, etc. Where policies don't exist or have been lost on the national level, we will find workable local station policies and see that they are adopted nationally. Where even those aren't adequate, policies will be adapted from other sources or written from scratch. Four, standardized management reporting. Standardized reporting will be put into effect so that an executive director will be able to evaluate managers and stations by performance criteria, not by rumor or narrative alone. Five, liability prevention. Measures will be taken to prevent legal liability and to fully comply with all legal requirements. This will include strengthening our community advisory boards. Six, good legal stewardship. Efforts are and will continue to be made to assess and settle or resolve legal cases and disputes. Seven, well-run elections. The elections will be properly overseen and new boards will be seated at our five stations in December, and we project no election timeline problems. Eight, more permanent senior management. The search for a strong executive director and chief financial officer is ongoing and will hopefully result in a smooth transition from interim to permanent management. Nine, improved web presence and expansion into other media platforms. Our websites and web presence will be upgraded as resources allow. As we regain our footing, start accumulating reserves, and have funding for advancement, we will be able to expand internet and digital broadcasting and improve our infrastructure. This may include obtaining a 24/7 Best of Pacifica Sirius XM station. What have I left out? You. We need every one of you to put aside past grievances. Our bylaws specifically state that Pacifica is committed to peace and social justice as well as diversity. Let's follow our mission and make every effort to, quote, contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, unquote. And I would add, between ourselves. Progress can't be made in the past, only the future. What do we want to see ahead of us? Let's decide and then move toward that vision. All right, that's my written report. Thank you. Now, I have an audio-visual report about our listenership. Let me take the microphone over there. I have to sit over there to do it. All right. You wouldn't want to turn this on? Okay. Do we need to dim the house lights for this, too? I'll give you a little explanation. I wanted to be able to see an analysis of our listenership trends, and I asked Nathan Moore, who used to be our national program director, to put together a little report for me, and that's what I'm going to be presenting now as soon as we get this together. So now how do I get my screen on there? There it is. Okay. So now we'll go to the first. This is evaluating listenership, recognizing challenges, building, and what's working. The Pacifica Mission. The Pacifica Mission calls for radio programs with an ambitious set of goals that encourage the cultural welfare of the community, promote peace and understanding, provide broad news and information to the community. Two particular areas to note are, quote, as nearly self-sustaining as possible, financial implications of programming matter. The community. We must recognize the breadth of our station's communities and what it means to provide a public service. Public service. Audience 98 and other studies define public service and radio programming as value to listeners, combined with significance of audience. Increasing either element of public service increases financial support. More audience equals more people who are potential donors. Increased personal value of programming equals increased financial support for that programming. Increasing both should greatly increase fundraising. Okay, so this is a graph of our Pacifica Station's weekly CUME. This is the total weekly listeners, and this is from 2004 to 2009. Okay, let me see if I can see it on my graph more clearly. The top line is WBAI. The second line, the green line, is WPFW. The line that's just above it and below it, the pink line, is KPFK. And the blue line is KPFT. That's the bottom line. Okay. Now, yellow is KPFA. Yes, yellow is KPFA. Now, you'll notice that we don't have the 2009 graph. The graph ends for WBAI and KPFA in 2008. KPFA had some trouble switching to the personal people meter. That's being resolved. So there are no Arbitrons since September 2008 for KPFA. WBAI stopped paying its bills to the Radio Resource Consortium in 2008, so we don't have Arbitrons for that station. But you can certainly see the trends. And there has been some added decline because of the switch to the personal people meter. So that may be just an anomaly having to do with the switch to a different way of assessing listenership by the Arbitron company.
Everybody's complaining about that.
Okay. All right. This is the AQH. This is average quarter-hour listenership. This shows even more further erosion in the amount of time that this is the average quarter-hour listenership, and this is how many quarter hours are listened to. Actually, Jamie, can you give an explanation of that exactly?
Yeah, I was wondering if we could focus that just a little bit better.
John, can you focus this? Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, there we go. That's much better, much better. Jamie, you want to take a little segue to explain what AQH is?
AQH is the other major summary parameter that Arbitron gives us besides the QM. AQH stands for average quarterly hour. It's how many people are how many people are listening in the average quarter hour. You know, if let's say from 9 to 10, if there's 10,000 people listening 9 to 9:15, 8,000 listening from 9:15 to 9:30. 6,000 from 9:30 to 9:45, and 4,000 from 9:45 to 10. Those are each the individual quarter-hour listenerships for those quarter-hour blocks. The average quarterly hour for that 9 to 10 total block would be the average of those four, which would be 7,000. Now, what AQH from Arbitron is it averages it not just from 9 to 10 a.m., but through all, I believe it's from all 18 hours from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. So it's basically the average amount of people tuned in at any given time.
Great.
You want me to say one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you have high AQH and a low QM, what that means is you have lots of people listening. Well, you don't have lots of total people listening, but you have a small number of audience, but they listen all the time. A small number of very loyal listeners. If you have high QM and low AQH, it's the opposite situation. You have a lot of people who tune in, but none of them listen for a very long time. So both QM and AQH are necessary to understand your listenership.
Unfortunately, we have both declining QM and AQH. This is particularly troubling because it shows that we're losing our loyal listeners. What these figures mean. For every 1,000 radios tuned, okay, is this, I think we have to look at, I have to go forward. Oh, here we go. All right, market share. The following figures represent the AQH share of each Pacifica station subscribed to PPM data. WPFW, which is our highest in the network, 0.6 to 0.7, depending on the month. KPFT, 0.3 to 0.4, depending on the month. KPFK, 0.1 to 0.2, depending on the month. WBAI, 0.1. KPFA, no PPM data available. What these figures mean. For every 1,000 radios turned on in the D.C. area, 6 to 7 people are tuned into WPFW. For every 1,000 radios turned on in the New York area, one is tuned to WBAI. Okay. Listenership patterns, challenges, and opportunities. WBAI, Monday through Friday, AQH, representative month. Okay. So this is basically an average month for WBAI. You see very low morning drive listenership relative to the potential market.
On the left is 5 a.m.
Yes.
How it's changed over time. Do we have that?
We'll see. I don't think we have that. No. This is basically the current. Okay. So this is we see at WBAI that the morning drive time, and this is the highest potential listenership time slot in the 24 hours. More people listen to radio at this time from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. than at any time. You see that Democracy Now!, which is not aired at 9 a.m., which is a less prime time for radio listenership than the 7 to 8 a.m. slot, but Democracy Now! being that the content is stronger, obviously, is drawing more listenership in a less prime time. Then the listenership declines considerably, and then we have strong evening drive time. And this strong evening drive time is considerably stronger than morning drive time, where this is a more prime time for listenership. So this shows stronger programming. And then it declines. You can see the graph. This is the weekend. There you go. You have very strong 7 to 10 p.m. shows on Saturday.
Could you put this on the web, please, this whole show you got here?
Can that be done, John? Okay. All right. Now, this is KPFK. I think we have only Saturday, not Sunday. All right, this is KPFK. KPFK has, again, Democracy Now! Is our strongest morning show. Our 7 to 9 a.m. could be strengthened. This is prime listener potential time. Our evening drive time at KPFK needs much improvement. This should be much higher. It also should be noted that Arbitron shows that average listenership, potential listenership, goes up quite a bit in the lunchtime period. And we're not programming in content to pull in listenership from the lunchtime crowd, because there is a higher lunchtime listenership potential available to us. This is Sunday. This is very strong listenership. We have one programmer at KPFK, Ian Masters, who has a very, very strong show. You can see the comparison with the rest of Sunday.
Grace, is he on for that entire time, or is there other people as well?
He is on from 11 to 1. It's public affairs, national and international. Excellent program. Should be syndicated. Okay. WPFW. Again, strong Democracy Now. Very weak morning drive time. This really needs improvement. This is the peak potential listenership of the whole 24 hours. And we have also weak evening drive time. But nonetheless, WPFW has more listeners, more market share than any of our other stations. Now, here's Saturday at WPFW. You see that Saturday, whatever you're doing on Saturday, what are you doing on Saturday, Grigsby? Can you come up and tell us? Here, you want to say it on the mic?
It's fair to say that on Saturdays and Sundays as well, in a different way, we own the airwaves in Washington, D.C. because of our roots in the community. We have a tradition of both storytelling and the people's music, and increasingly cut in with progressive comment that has really touched people, and it's the kind of thing that we look to build on. Right now, we're running a PSA promoting our Day in the Park at Fort DuPont, a free gathering on August 1st, and we have Captain Fly, one of the leading disc jockeys in the area, who spontaneously, from my going into the booth to meet with him, decided he wanted to share some of his enthusiasm about our vision for addressing that false dichotomy between music and cultural awareness, incisive, thoughtful, political comment. And so he spontaneously, on his own, cut a PSA and then folded in a promotion for this thing where we will be out with meeting with the people at a huge public rally with tens of thousands of people in the park on August 1st. So the short form of the answer is that we have paid attention to the people and are rooting our expression in responding to that and addressing that false dichotomy between music and public affairs.
Thank you, Grigsby. So you see, I'm going to go back one. It looks to me like the Saturday listenership at WPFW is triple the Monday through Friday. Here's Monday through Friday. Uh-oh, I'm going forward instead of backwards. Okay, Saturday. Okay, here we go, Monday through Friday, right? And then Saturday. And Saturday has lower potential listenership than Monday through Friday. So we see where we're strong. We've got to start listening to what WPFW is doing on Saturday and seeing if it can be syndicated. You know, we don't have to produce new programming that's excellent. We already have it, and we should be utilizing it more. And by the other token, WPFW needs to look at what we other stations have that's strong during the day, during Monday through Friday. Okay. KPFA. It has a solid. Okay, please, no audience comment till it's specifically audience comment time. We have a solid morning show, a peek at Democracy Now, a big drop between drive times. I want to tell you that if you look at the Arbitron website, which I strongly encourage all directors to do, it has a tremendous amount of information. You'll find that the drops that we have, because we're not paying attention to this area in here, what the potential listenership is more like this. Okay? We're losing out on millions of potential listenership by not improving our daytime programming. There's very high potential listenership, especially at the lunchtime hours. All of our stations have very weak daytime listenership after morning drive time. Now, evening drive time at KPFA clearly needs improvement. This is very weak. A little bit higher for the evening news, but even that is not strong enough. All right, we need to examine what's working well. Do we have anything for KPFT? I didn't see anything for KPFT. I could show you the KPFT Arbitrons. I have them separately, but it's interesting. At KPFT, the weekend listenership is, which is mainly music, is about three times higher than the Monday through Friday. And the potential listenership Monday through Friday is traditionally much higher than weekend. So that shows another dichotomy, similar thing to WPFW. So here are suggestions. Examine what's working pretty well. There are examples from various formats. Why are they working? What elements do they include? Address what's not working well. What programs are not meeting basic standards of public service, value to listeners, and significant audience? And consider the truths about public radio. Sure, these were developed with NPR stations in mind, but they very much apply to us, too. Here are truths about public radio. Oh, whoops. As you go forward, consider the following truths about public radio. Each of these could warrant an entire discussion, particularly in their application to our community radio station settings. You know, if I'm reading this and it's redundant, I'm sorry, but it's for the stream. Programming causes audience. Listeners choose programming that resonates with their values, interests, and beliefs. Listeners develop loyalty to a station with consistent appeal. Appeal can transcend program genres and format styles. Public service begets public support. Public support begets public service. Okay, and that's basically the report. Thank you for... And Nathan Moore put that together for me, and I think it really shows what our situation is currently. And that completes my report. Where are we in on time? What time is it now? It's 10. You know, we may want to extend my report later for question and answer, but right now we have a time certain for public comment. So as soon as I, okay, here we go.
Okay. Let me, there we go. Let me move, and then we'll take a minute break and then go right into public comment. We don't have public comment until 12:30. Okay. I'm mixing up Saturday and Sunday. Okay. All right. We're going to take a minute break because I have to hook myself back up at my regular seat.
How long is it going to take while they set this up, Great, Madam Chair?
Okay, so we'll let them. Okay, she just needs a few moments to get us all together, so we'll let them talk.
So you're the chair?
Right.
We're just going to take a couple of minute break while LaVarne, we're going to do LaVarne's report, then we're going to have Q&A from the board to both LaVarne and myself. Okay. Okay. LaVarne, how long will it be, do you think? It's 30 seconds. No, she'll be starting in 30 seconds. Okay. Sure. Okay, it'll just be a minute or so, and LaVarne will give her report. And Joe will chair this section. Well, I can chair that. You ready, Lavorne? All right. Board members, please be seated. I'm going to recognize Lavorne Williams. She's our interim CFO, and she's going to be giving her CFO report.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to see you all again. My name is Lavorne Williams. I'm the interim chief financial officer of the foundation. I'm also the acting general manager here at WBAI. So I've had the, the opportunity, you would say, to try to go on some of the cable access station. So before I go on there, they're always asking me to give my credentials. So I'll start with that. I have a degree from the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia in economics, and although I did not go to the Wharton School, of course I took Wharton School courses, and then I have an MBA from Washington University in St. Louis, and my major there was finance, and I work for Xerox Corporation in upstate New York. So I've lived in New York for a period of time. For the listening audience, please forgive me. There's comedy in the audience.
Can we hear?
Please.
We need to have quiet.
Yeah, but we can't.
So that the chief financial officer can give her report.
Please.
Go ahead. Continue, Lavorne.
Okay. Thank you, Grace.
If you can't understand, you try to anyway. You won't hear it when you're not.
Okay, Lizette. If people in the audience can't respect ICFO giving her report and the rest of the conduct of our meeting, we're going to have to ask you to leave. So please.
You can ask all you want. It's just typical of your
Can we turn the sound down?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Lavorne.
Thank you very much, Grace. So as I was saying, I've lived in upstate New York, and I work for Xerox Corporation, and then I moved out down to Texas and out to California, and I work for Applied Materials. And actually, I retired in 1996, and at that time, I started volunteering with KPFA, and then eventually got on the board, was the treasurer of the foundation. And then I was away from the foundation for over a year, and in February of this year, with the change in the board, the majority change, I was called down, and I was appointed the interim CFO in February. So that's where I am, and I've been here, and I started as interim general manager here at BAI in the beginning of May. So that's kind of like where I'm from, and I'll just give a brief summary in terms of where the Pacifica Foundation is. And so my report I'll read, and it's brief, and then I think we'll take questions, and I'll take questions with the chair of the board, who is also the interim executive director of the foundation, Grace Aaron. So we'll begin here. The Pacifica Foundation is now facing, end quote, let the enemy face the problems to come scenario, where senior management and all national boards, up to the one that was seated in January of this year, 2009, chose to ignore the mountain financial instability of WBAI 99.5 FM located here in New York City. The successful business model of the foundation, as laid out in the beginning of this foundation 60 years ago, is to raise funds through on-air drives to cover the cost of operations and to maintain reserves to cover the foundation during the lean times. The failure model, as supported by the previous national boards and accelerated by the first nationwide elected and seated board in 2004 and implemented primarily here at WBAI, is to borrow money initially from the foundation with no plan or promise to repay the loan. The national office accumulates the debt as an interstation receivable that currently stands at $1,148,000. The simple fact is that on-air fundraising is the only method that is available to the foundation to raise significant funds to pay off the debts of the foundation, whether these debts are internal or external. In fact, if we do not support a plan to discharge this debt and infuse cash into the national office, the whole foundation runs the risk of insolvency, as everyone seemed to want to return to here at WBAI. Not everyone, I'm sorry. Where there are voices that seem to want to return to an insolvency at WBAI. This is simply putting off to tomorrow what should be done today. The evidence of this route to financial instability is the $300,000 line of credit that we must pay back to Wells Fargo on August the 1st. The other major route to the financial instability is the $1.1 million loan that was floated by the National Finance Committee chair in 2008 that contained a balloon payment revealed by the current chair and IED exerting her fiduciary responsibility and that mortgaged the assets of the foundation. If there is another way other than on-air fundraising to reduce the $1.1 million debt, let me just go back to my notes here. Okay, if there is another way other than on-air fundraising to reduce the $1.1 million receivable in the national office that leads to negative cash flows for the national office and the foundation, please let me know. We have a motion from the National Finance Committee that embraced my proposal to use restricted funds held by the national office to pay the $300,000 line of credit borrowed from Wells Fargo last year that, again, is payable this year on August the 1st. Again, this is another instance of the problems to come. The donor-imposed restriction on the endowment allows use of the funds other than for the purpose stated in the gift in what is called exigent circumstances. Our foundation counsel advises us that we are in exigent circumstances and further advises us that we can write a promissory note to ourselves at interest, which is a requirement of the endowment, to pay back the funds into the restricted account rather than going to the credit market and borrowing the funds with the interest going to the bank. We are fortunate to have Mr. Diando to advise the foundation on issues of restructuring debt at not-for-profit institutions. So, again, I can go into what we're going to do in detail on that later. But basically, the idea is that we write a promissory note to ourselves to pay interest over a period of time. My suggestion is 24 months, that each station will pay it back. It's about $8,500 a month. Each station will pay it back based on their revenue, with BAI, basically BAI, KPFK, KPFA paying an identical amount, about $2,000 a month, and KPFT and WPFW paying a smaller amount.